It will. Or you could do the same thing. You could go out to the street because you love these people. You feel their lostness. And you are out there because you want to be there to try to save some. Guess what? Every track you pass and every word you share will contain love. Because there's a different power motivating you. So if I stop at point one, you'll be saying, actions, actions. But that point two goes deeper. Behind the actions is a power force. The fruit, the actual fruit. Faith. Yes, faith is good. The actual fruit and power that enable you to do the action. The sad thing is, if we have been brought up in fear, you will do a lot of things by fear. You've been brought up by guilt, you do a lot of things by guilt. And all of us have a lot of cleaning up to do. Even Jesus told his disciples, unfortunately, none of us have had a perfect childhood. Nobody. So don't ever blame your childhood, or don't ever blame your parents. You got no one to blame. Because let me say, somebody else with worse childhood than you and I grew up okay. So whatever situation you can find yourself in, you'll find somebody else to blame. You cannot. Because we are all responsible for our own actions and reactions. And let's face it this way, none of us had a perfect life. None of us had perfect opportunities. But all of us are responsible to become who we are. I can tell you stories from my life. From my life before I came to know Christ. From my life after I came to know Christ. From my life in 30 years of ministry, I've seen the good and the bad. That could have changed me into a cynic Christian. Fed up with all of Christianity. But I have not allowed that. All those things have just made me become more compassionate for the people who know it not what they do. So we are responsible for who we become, not somebody else. If we realize that the pressure, you know how you tell the fruit and what kind of fruit come out? It's not when it's easy. The fruit, the real fruit of who we really are, is when the temperature is at its hottest and everything is melting away. Or when the pressure is at the greatest and everything around you is breaking down. That's when you really tell whether you really love God or not. Let's tell whether you're really an evil person or a good person. And let me tell you, everyone have their temptations and their weak points. Everyone. And unless you go through the fiery furnace, you will not know who you are, what you're really made up of. Only fire can purify us. Only pressure can purify us. Only when you've been through the stage in different way, where you don't know when your next meal is going to come, when you have no money, no house, no friends, nobody around you, and you decide whether you're going to compromise your Christianity and do something wrong, or you rather live and die by your Christian principles, will determine who you really are. And if everyone has lived long enough in life, you know what it's like. You know what it's like. If you don't have money, you just don't have money. And every 10 cents and $1 is counted. And you will know, you will understand at that time why some people steal, because they don't have food, clothing, shelter. But you are not like them. Because you would rather die of starvation than to become a thief. That's when your fruit comes out. And let me tell you, God never fails you. And you do not know what a trial is like until you have everybody in the world turn against you, friends and foes and loved ones. Until, like Jesus, you have gone to the cross, and every one of us have our cross in your own way. You will have your cross. What was Jesus' cross? His friends, his foes, everyone deserted him. His foe was against him. His friends deserted him. And he had no one. Out of Jesus could come anguish, anger, bitterness. But out of Jesus came love. Even when his back was so beaten that he could hardly carry the piece of wood, and you know he was so weakened that when he was carrying the cross, he fell. And they had to call somebody to carry the cross for him. And all the women cry out, you know, were crying out for him. And you know what he said? Do not weep for me, but weep for the others. For your children. Even at that stage, he never thought about himself. Even on the cross, when you know what the enemies were saying, they came right to the cross. They came right to the cross where he hung, stood right there looking up at him. And they say, if you're the Son of God, come down. Not only did they say that, they look up at the cross and they said, you know, and they jeered. The Bible says they jeered him, they mock him, they scorn him. And the Bible never recorded those words. You know why? If it recorded, we would all be crying today. The names they called Jesus. He died to the world as a thief. As a criminal. The Bible never records those hard words they say about him. But I can assure you, they mock and they scorn him. And you know what came out from him? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they have done. He was incapable of evil. That's the beauty of Jesus. He was just not capable of being evil. A lot of the people who are evil out there, criminals, you know what has happened to them? You know what turned them into monsters? Because none of them were born monsters from a little child. Every little newborn baby is so beautiful, so fragile. What turned them to Hitler's, Saddam Hussein's? What turned them? Along the way, some people do evil to them. A lot of the criminals, 99% of criminals out there are criminals because somebody hurt them. Somebody abused them. Somebody put bitterness into their life. Somebody pressed them so down that something broke in them and they turn against society and the world. When evil is done to you and I, and you become evil, it only reveals your true nature. Because if you really, really, really were born again, the only thing that will come out from you, every time they stripe you, only love flows out. So the second point, we've been through a lot in the ministry and we've been through a lot in our Christian life. We've been through persecutions and everything you can, most of the things you can name out except for physical persecution, which we haven't been through that much. But outside of that, betrayals, misunderstandings, ostracization, all kinds of things. Cast out your name as evil, all kinds of things. At every point, we could choose to become more bitter or they become more loving. When you make a conscious choice that you will always bring out love, you will repay no man with evil, you will repay evil with good, then you are a good tree. Then you are truly a good tree, for you are measured by your fruit. So my friends, when pressure comes, look in the mirror and say, and you are honest, look in the mirror and say, ask yourself, what have you become? Next question. Are you a person easy to live with or not? Some of us are so confident, we say, yes, I'm easy person to live with. Oh yeah. Ask those who are close to you. Are you easy to live? Now, let me ask this other question. Do you think it would be easy to live with Jesus? Yes. We are all Christians. Christians, follower of Christ. How come a lot of Christians are not easy to live with? You know why? They are not Christians. Some of them possibly are Christians, but they're influenced by the spirit of the Pharisees. Religious people are the hardest people to live with. Their standards are so high, but they are not real. You know who crucified Jesus? Not the ordinary people. The ordinary prostitutes, thieves, robbers. Not a single one of them ever have the thought, I will kill Jesus. At the most they will do is ignore him. But most of them turn to him. But you know who actually came? Not even the Roman government wants to kill him. Pontius Pilate says, I will have nothing to do with this man. Pontius Pilate's wife says, have nothing to do with that man. Pontius Pilate says, bring me a bowl of water. He washes his hands symbolically saying, I want to have nothing to do with this man. But you know who crucified him? The religious Jews. More hurt is done by Christians who are religious than Christians who are true to God. Because if you are truly true to God, sadly, Christianity is filled with that. You know the Crusades? Crusades are done by backslidden Christians. How can a Christian take up the sword and chop off another person's head and call themselves followers of Christ? Isn't that what Jesus rebuked Peter? If Peter, who stand next to Jesus physically, took his sword and tried to swipe and cut a person's head, the Bible says he cut off the ear. He was not aiming for the ear. He's aiming for the head. The person died. He happened to be one of those whose ear stick out. The ear fell off. And you know what Jesus says? I could imagine the tone of Jesus, he says. Put away the sword. My kingdom is not the kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were the kingdom of this world, I will fight. My disciples will fight. And you know, no one could have warned Jesus even if he went physical. And you know, when they scream at him on the cross, come down and show yourself. Do you know he had the power to come down? Jesus says, and he put Peter in his place. He says, put your sword away. Why do I need this puny little sword? I could call to my father. He will send me 12 legions of angels. 12 legions is not just 12,000. It's 12,000 times 3,000.